This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Gold and silver have surged to record highs, and AI or machines have become persons. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction. Talk that transforms. When AI becomes or machines become persons, well, what do you do? What happens to people? Are machines actually replacing people? Apparently, Time Magazine thinks so, because the cover story is this. I'm looking at it. Person of the Year. AI. AI, the person of the year, the architects of AI, and at the same time, gold and silver are climbing to stratospheric heights. Are they connected? And what does it have to do with the future? What does it have to do with us as followers of Jesus Christ? What does it have to do with the kingdom of God? You remember, Peter and John were there at the gate beautiful, and there was a fellow there who had been lame from birth, and he was holding out his tin cup, looking for alms for the poor. Peter and John stopped there as they entered the temple, and they looked strongly at the man, and he looked at them, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Well, some people might think that silver and gold is what will allow them to rise up and walk. In fact, many now believe that AI is what will cause the world to rise up and walk with a new prosperity level such as the world has never seen. Will it all be fulfillment of biblical prophecy, preparing the way for the world's greatest prosperity only to collapse and bring about the cry for a one world government? Well, we'll have to remain and look for the result of that, but in the meantime, we're going to take a look at what's happening. A lot of information on today's program concerning the economy, concerning gold, silver, and concerning AI when machines become persons. So it's great to have you on board as we're moving toward the wrap-up of the year, ready for a new year to see what will happen. And today, gold and silver spiked to even new records. Every day for the last few weeks has been a new record. Today, the spot price of silver soared to over $78 an ounce. Do you know that just 2 months ago, the spot price of silver was about $37 an ounce? In other words, the spot price of silver has more than doubled in 2 months. In fact, in just the last month or so, the spot price of silver has increased by 36% in 1 month. What do you make of that when the stock market has seemed to have done quite good with somewhere around an 18% for the whole year incline? What's going on here? Can the world say that silver and gold have I none? Well, maybe the silver and gold is limited, and so the demand for silver and gold is actually what's driving it up. But what is that demand? Is it connected to AI or machines becoming the person of the year? We're going to see how indeed that is true in large measure. So the question that we as followers of Jesus Christ have to ask, is it really in God we will trust, or in gold and silver will we trust, or in machines will we trust? We're going to be tested. You and I are going to be tested big time. Our whole economy, the world, the United States of America, the Trump administration, your churches, all are going to be tested triple time with regard to who we do trust. Because our coins say, in God we trust. But maybe that won't be so true anymore, if it ever was, when the price of silver exceeds the $1 silver dollar by 78 times. That's right, 78 times. It's up to $78 an ounce. 1 ounce of silver to silver dollar, worth $1 on its face value. Now worth $78 if you have one. Interesting. And if you have the Eagle, it's probably worth about $83, $84, maybe more. Because people prefer that. And so we're looking at something here that is pretty dramatic. It's never happened before. Something like this has never happened before to this level. What's driving it? And is it possible that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, and our pastors, and our Christian ministries and so on, could be caught up in this to the extent that we will have a false trust that will lead us actually away from putting our confidence and our trust in God, so that when all of that falls away, we will be left bereft of trust? All of that here on the program today, and it's so good to have joined you here every single day, day after day, 5 days a week, live, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. God's not against silver and gold. He created them. He created them. In fact, he said to Abraham, and it was a reminder in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe it is, he said, "Take heed to Israel that when you have eaten and are full, and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your silver and your gold is multiplied, and that all you have is multiplied, that you forget the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth." Why? That he might fulfill or establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's not against wealth. What he's against is trusting it. And that's where the tension comes. God's not against health. In fact, he wants us to be healthy. He created our bodies to be, in many respects, self-healing, if we treat them correctly. But sin affected the whole process of things. But he still wanted us to be healthy. John, writing in 3 John, says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." But if we trust our health, we're no longer trusting God. We trust God for our health, but we don't trust our health. We can trust God for our financial provision and be grateful and thankful for it. But it's very easy to slip into the trap of trusting the provision rather than the provider. So, all that having been said, to set the stage for our conversation, the balance of the program here today, again, I hope, friends, that if you have not already done so, that you will take it upon yourself, asking God to see if there's anything that he would have you to do to be a partner with us in a significant way to wrap up this year. I hope you'll do that. Pray about it. Go to the website, saveus.org, write to us, call us. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
I was just thinking over the break how over the past 10, 12 years or so, there have been, I think, three of our listeners who decided to use gold and or silver. I think in each case there were gold coins, however, that were donated to Save America Ministries, and we credited them with the then spot price of the gold at the time that it was donated. Well, the benefit to us was obviously we received the benefit of the spot price of the gold that was given at that time, which was a wonderful gift. At one time, there were three or four such coins, gold coins given. That was a significant gift, and we were so grateful for it. But here's the other benefit for it. You see, if you have increase in gold or silver that you've had for some period of time, you're obligated to pay a capital gains tax on that, on the profit. But if you donate it, you don't end up having to do that. And we credit you with the value, the spot price at the time that you donated it, but I don't think you have to pay a capital gains tax on it. So that would be a huge benefit for those who would be prone to do that kind of thing. All that having been aside, we want to talk and focus on what actually is happening. And I've given you the record concerning gold and silver. It's pretty amazing. Gold and silver prices have spiked, as I said, to the highest point ever. Gold, just a few days ago, went past the $4,500 per ounce mark, and today it's up to $4,545. Just 2 months ago, it was around $2,000, I think, maybe $3,000. So it's up significantly. Silver today went to $78.46 an ounce. At least that was the point just before broadcast. That was up 8.8% in 1 day. In 1 day. That's more than most of you are making. That's double what you could make on a CD today. And that happened in 1 day. So you can see the drawing power of silver and gold right now. I'm not telling you that you should go out and buy silver and gold. That would be up between you and your spouse and the Lord. But beware of the warning. It is better to trust the Lord than put confidence in men. Better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes and powers and potentates and persons such as AI or silver and gold. Our trust is what God really is looking for. So just be careful. Beware that when you have eaten in full and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, that you forget the Lord your God, for it is he that has given you power or the right to gain wealth, that he might fulfill his covenant, which he sware unto our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All that having been said, you see, this really does have a biblical foundation. 2025 has been a wild year for metals, and the ride is continuing for gold, silver, copper. It goes on and on. So I asked the connection. I asked AI, this, the ever-present, omniscient AI, what the connection was between AI and the rising silver and gold prices, and here was the answer. I already knew some of this, but here is the answer that AI gave. Remember, AI, according to Time Magazine now, is a person, the person of the year. So AI responded personally and said that the rising silver and gold prices between AI and those gold and silver prices is due both to increased industrial demand for these metals in AI hardware and macroeconomic effects such as inflation concerns, safe haven investing, and so on. So, here are the details. Silver is the best thermal and electrical conductor of all metals. It is a critical component in the high-performance chips, connectors, switches, and heat sinks used in AI data centers. And we're going to talk a whole lot more about the AI data centers in just a few moments. This demand, coupled with a structural supply deficit in the silver market, is a primary driver of its price surge. It is also heavily used in the solar panels that often power these facilities further increasing demand. Well, how about gold? Well, gold is essential in AI-enabled electronics, including processors, memory chips, and sensors. Its high conductivity and resistance to corrosion ensure data can be transmitted at high speeds with minimal energy loss, which is critical for continuous AI applications. So now you understand where the thing is, where the emphasis is. Then there are inflationary pressures. Massive investment in AI infrastructure, including data centers, can lead to increased government debt and liquidity in the financial system. Indeed, that's exactly what's happening. Geopolitical and economic uncertainties surround the rapid technological shifts, and potential market volatility are driving investors and central banks to seek safe haven assets like gold and silver. So AI is also changing how precious metals are traded. AI platforms analyze vast data sets and spot market trends faster than humans, which can lead to rapid trading and increased market volatility for metals, particularly silver. So, now you have a distilled piece of information that should be very helpful to you in understanding the dynamics of what is taking place right now. This is right at the end of 2025. Remember how our economy was slouching toward Gomorrah, so to speak, at the end of the Biden administration? And people were saying that when Trump decided to establish all these tariffs, that it was going to be the downfall of human beings and the economy. Just the opposite has happened. Contrary to what you might be told on MSNBC or CBS or CBN or whatever, CBS rather, because they're going to tell you what they want to tell you to demean what's happening in reality through the Trump administration. But there's well over 200, I think it's about $270-280 billion that have been gleaned into the United States economy as a result of the tariffs just since they were implemented this year. All that having been said, I want to give you a bit of an idea. Now, this broadcast emanates from the broader Richmond, Virginia area, the metro area. The Richmond, Virginia metro area has about five or six counties that surround, plus the city of Richmond at the heart of it all. That's how the governments are arranged in Virginia. So Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Commonwealth, is experiencing massive data center growth with dozens of facilities already operating. That is somewhere around 75 numerous major projects under construction, and many more are planned. There are at least eight data centers that are currently being built in this metropolitan area. I'm using this as a microcosm of what's happening all over the country now, because this is where I live, and this is where I would tend to have the most understanding and information looking at it geologically and demographically. So, an article came out, Richmond's data center boom could raise your power bill. So if it's going to happen in the area of Richmond, Virginia, it's going to happen in your area too. Why? Well, the data center growth could end up costing locals more in their energy bills. The massive server complexes that allow you to connect to Zoom meeting or stream videos are driving a surge in electricity demand in Virginia, especially amid the rapid growth of AI tools. Roughly a third of all data centers in the state are near residential areas, a trend the report author expects to continue. In two counties, Chesterfield and Henrico, 38% of data centers are within 500 feet of residential areas. And now some residents have started to fight. But that's a fraction of the 537 data centers across the state, with the vast majority of them concentrated in Northern Virginia, just under Washington, D.C. And The problem here is, again, there's this tension. The centers can also pump millions of dollars in tax revenue into local economies. So those in the leadership of these various localities are looking for money. They're driven by money. What happens with the love of money? Well, the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. The love of money. So what's the difference between the need of money and the love of money? Your attitude and what you expect. Your trust. The developers who built the world's largest concentration of data centers in Northern Virginia are now eyeing the Richmond, Virginia area where I live. But Northern Virginia is ground zero for living with data centers. Proponents say data centers bring localities enormous revenues and opportunities. But opponents raise concerns about their big demands for power and compatibility with neighborhoods. That's where people live. AI lives in the data centers. People live in the neighborhoods. You see the tension. Now, Goochland County happens to be in the northwest of Richmond itself, is laying the groundwork to attract large developments by technology companies, including the lucrative data center industry. And after supervisors approved a technology overlay district and an incentivizing technology zone, guess what? Residents objected vigorously, but after 5 hours of public comment, mostly asking county supervisors to reject the data center idea, the board still voted 4-1 after midnight on November 7th to approve the plan that would allow the construction of data centers on undeveloped swaths of land in the county's east end. The chair of the board said the board also needed to consider the tax revenue that data centers generate and how they can boost the county's finances without raising taxes on homeowners. I think the homeowners would much rather have the taxes raised than to have the data centers' massive building sites that deface the entire environment in their neighborhood and that suck the water out of the groundwater, because these data centers are water hungry. Why? Because they have to cool the tremendous heat that's generated by these machines that are replacing people in the data centers. Now, interestingly, a relative of mine just built a house 2 years ago, a very nice house in the county of Goochland. He just discovered last month that the county has approved a massive data center complex, 900 acres just across the street. 900 acres just across the street. Do you have any idea how much 900 acres is? That's many, many, many city blocks. Now, why would a county want to deface and defame areas in which very nice homes are located in order for them to glom on, that is, the county to glom on to extra money? Is it greed? Is it the lust of the flesh? What is it? You can begin to see that we have a problem. And if you think this is a problem just in Virginia or in Richmond, Virginia, there are over 5,000 such centers all over the country right now, and they're growing rapidly. There's one down there in Texas. I saw the bird's eye view of it. Unbelievable. I believe it was only 400 acres. What's going in your neighborhood? And why are we doing this? That brings us back to Time Magazine, its cover story, Person of the Year, AI. Now we're going to worship machines who become persons.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
During the break, I had to remove my light jacket because it was becoming so overheated here as I felt the heat being generated by the surrounding AI generators, these data centers. I can just feel the increasing heat even in my mind. I felt it coming, and I had to get rid of that jacket very quickly. So you might understand that you might be feeling the heat of this before too long yourself. Before we get into some significant excerpts from this feature of Time Magazine, I want to extend an invitation again to you. We're very quickly approaching the end of the offer that we have made, that through the month of December, we would make available, at the request, by the way, of one of our listeners, 11 of my books, all 11 of my books, available to you for your donation of $154, your gift of $154. Now, plus $18 postage and handling, and so you can figure that out. If you're writing a check to Save America Ministries, it'll be $154 plus $18. So if you're going online on our website, you can find the place where that specific offer is made and set it up that way. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. But do it right away, friends, because by the time December 31st rolls around, there will be no more opportunity to get that special offer. And there will never be another offer like that again, I doubt, because it is so unbelievable. So I hope you'll avail yourself of that. If you don't, you still might want to get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It is a $18 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Just give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Seduction of the Saints. You see, this whole issue of silver and gold and coupled with AI is extremely seductive. Now, I am not saying, and I'm not trying to say or implying that to invest in silver and gold is sinful. I don't believe that any more than to invest in the stock market is sinful, or to invest in a house is sinful. Things only become sinful when they're taken to excess and or when we shift our trust for provision to those things and begin to gradually lose our trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth and owns all things. So that having been said, you see, we can be seduced. In the book Seduction of the Saints, deals with a whole raft of areas, ways in which we can easily be seduced that we don't normally think about. But Jesus said to his disciples 2 days before his crucifixion that one of the key elements, if not the key element of the end of the age before his second coming, would be deception and seduction. The Apostle Paul warned about that. Peter warned about that. So, you see, the warnings are out there, And here on this program, we're trying to present a balanced situation, not to warn people from doing those things or getting involved in them, because, as they say, money makes the world go around. Or some say oil makes the world go around. Others say love makes the world go around. Well, maybe all make the world go around, but if you put all of your trust in any one of those things, you're going to have troubles, especially if you find love is sex. So, all that having been said, let us dive into the analysis of the writer Sam Jacobs writing for Time magazine concerning this matter of their choice for AI being the person of the year. Now, most people would have said Donald Trump was the person of the year because of everything that had been accomplished. But they didn't want to go that way. They didn't want to give any credit to Donald Trump, so they chose AI and determined to create personhood out of AI. Spain, by the way, a few years ago, created personhood out of chimpanzees and gorillas. That's right. They gave chimpanzees and gorillas personhood. But now an inanimate object called a machine is being given personhood. And you look at the cover of Time magazine, the date is December 29th, 2025, and it shows a scaffolding, very complex scaffolding, with the letters AI emblazoned over the scaffolding. And Person of the Year, that's the title, The Architects of AI. So as far as I was concerned, what they were actually saying is that machines are becoming persons in their estimation. And what happens when machines become persons or are given personhood, as Time magazine is essentially doing through their cover story? So let me share these substantial excerpts with you, and you will get a picture of how this is developing, and then you'll have to form your own opinion as to why you think we would have brought this up on the program today, and whether this is a concern to you as a follower of Jesus Christ and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Prominent at Donald Trump's return to office in January were the chiefs of U.S. technology companies. But something unexpected was happening offstage. That same day, a little-known Chinese firm called DeepSeek released a new artificially intelligence model that spooked markets and led to a rallying cry from Silicon Valley. The next day, such titans as Sam Altman, Larry Ellison, and Masayoshi Son appeared at the White House with an announcement of their own. They pledged to invest up to $500 billion to build AI data centers across the U.S., calling the project Stargate. Those 2 days foretold the center or the year to come. Global competition, astounding innovation, massive sums of money, and the alchemizing forces of public and private interests. Artificial intelligence's full potential roared into view. It became clear that there would be no turning back. Whatever the question was, AI was the answer. Stories unleashed a million debates about how disruptive AI would be for people's lives. No parent or teacher could ignore how the teenager or student was using it. These new tools can feel like magic. These systems are improving at a blistering pace, taking seconds to perform work that once took people hours. AI's capabilities double nearly twice a year. Every industry needs it, they say. Every company uses it. And every nation needs to build it, said Jensen Huang, who leads NVIDIA, the world's most valuable company and one of the world's most influential AI leaders. This is the single most impactful technology of our time, he said. All that progress comes with trade-offs, though. The amount of energy required to run these systems drains resources. Jobs are going poof. Misinformation proliferates as AI posts and videos make it harder to determine what's real. There's also an extraordinary concentration of power, among a handful of business leaders in a manner that hasn't been witnessed since the Gilded Age. AI companies are now lashed to the global economy. It's a gamble of epic proportions, they say. Trump captured some of our unease in September when he said if something happens really bad, just blame AI. We're now living in the world that the thinking machine and its makers have created. Well, that's true. That is true. And quite frankly, we're living in a world that is actually being created even the more so. An artificial world. A world of make-believe. A world of synthetic authenticity. A world when machines can not only replace people, but create people. Or at least appear to create people. Maybe this is all necessary in order to prepare the way for the very system, the beast system, that the book of Revelation talks about, that the prophet Daniel talked about in the Old Testament, the beast empire, that ultimately will control everybody's ability to buy or sell, to gain medical care, to get anything done. Because it will all be controlled by government-run artificial people who Time Magazine calls the person of the year. Maybe the Antichrist himself will be a make-believe person. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out because we don't know anything. In fact, the reality is that those who are generating these things don't know. We're going to find that out. Back to Time Magazine. The rise of the personal computer in the 1980s transformed the economy. The emergence of digital communities was captured famously and infamously by Time naming you as the person of the year in 2006. Well, we've gone a long way in 19 years from you being the person of the year to a machine being named the person of the year. Do you see how things move? Now, the social internet made possible by personal digital devices is giving way to a new era, the area of artificial intelligence. Person of the year is a powerful way to focus the world's attention on the people that shape our lives. No one had a greater impact than the individuals who imagined, designed, and built AI. So for those reasons, the architects of AR are Time Magazine's 2025 Person of the Year. I remember back in the early 1980s, I had opened up my own law office in 1981. Using an IBM Selectric typewriter, my secretary, by 1983, we got our first computer. It was a used Vector graphic computer. I paid $4,000, and all it would do was word processing. Just imagine what we have in our hands today. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
AI is changing our world when machines become virtual people. Today, NVIDIA is the most valuable company in the world. I'm looking right now at the giant picture of Jensen Huang, the CEO. thanks to a near monopoly on the advanced chips powering an AI boom that is transforming the planet. Pictures depict NVIDIA as Atlas, holding the stock market on its shoulders. NVIDIA also has become an instrument of statecraft, diplomacy, and geopolitics. You're taking over the world, Donald Trump said to Jensen Huang. President Trump, though, now a regular late-night phone buddy of Jensen Huang, told him during a recent state visit to the United Kingdom, you're taking over the world. Well, some believe that that's exactly what these leaders of these high-tech companies are doing, multi-billion, even trillion-dollar companies like NVIDIA. They become the rulers of the world. Are they oligarchs? They're going to rule in the name of something else? This year, the debate about how to wield AI responsibly gave way to a sprint to deploy it as fast as possible. OpenAI's ChatGPT, which at launch was the fastest growing consumer app of all time, surpassed 800 million weekly users. AI wrote millions of lines of code, aided lab scientists, generated viral songs, and spurred companies to re-examine their strategies or risk obsolescence. Researchers found, though, that AIs can scheme, deceive, or blackmail. AI systems may eventually outcompete humans, as if an advanced species were on the cusp of colonizing the Earth. Pope Leo XIV warned that it could manipulate children and serve anti-human ideologies. Oh! So when the AI people, the digital people, become the enemies of real people, we got a problem, don't we? So that's the story of how AI changed our world, sometimes in frightening ways. AI emerged as arguably the most consequential tool in great power competition since the advent of the nuclear age. True. It's absolutely true. There's a prevailing sense that the revolution had arrived before the public was ready. Multiple polls found that Americans are worried about AI. Americans believe AI will worsen, not better, our abilities to think creatively, form meaningful relationships with other people, make difficult decisions, and solve problems. Yet Donald Trump was eager to join forces with a cohort of tech elites who once donated to his opponents. Massive investments in capital infrastructure, energy, and manufacturing, a new load-bearing pillar holding up the U.S. economy and stock markets. And Trump wields that technology as a geopolitical tool. He understands. Chinese leader Xi Jinping was determined to change that. In 2017, he unveiled a plan to become the global leader in AI by 2030. Remember that number, 2030? That's the number, the year that all the world is looking at. The Great Reset, the United Nations 2030 agenda, and businesses all over the world. But China still lagged behind Silicon Valley and the explosion of ChatGPT in the late 2022. So Xi's superpower rival had established a seemingly unassailable lead in the most consequential technology of the past half century, as well as a stranglehold on the bedrock hardware. But a push from the Chinese Communist Party is closing that gap. By 2025, chips from Chinese telecom giant Huawei outperformed the most advanced NVIDIA chips. So as a result, on December 8th, Trump said he would loosen export controls, allowing the sale of NVIDIA chips that are more powerful than anything Huawei can offer, but less powerful than those on sale in America. And the U.S. government would take a 25% cut of exports. The DeepSeek breakthrough in January was Beijing's Sputnik moment, and Xi dialed up the pressure. The following month, Alibaba unveiled plans to invest $53 billion in AI over the next 3 years. And I still remember Sputnik. I was 13 years old then, studying algebra and mathematics. And the Russians beat us. Beat us to put the first man on the moon. Get the satellite up there. It was unbelievable. Sputnik, the Sputnik era, it was called. And that caused the United States of America to have a new surge in engineering and math. Some of the folk that I was in school with were excellent in that, became engineers, became mathematicians, and so on. Chinese leaders concede the U.S. still has a clear lead in AI models, advanced chips, and private investor cash. Yet China boasts a massive cohort of engineers. So the scramble for AI dominance hinges on more than pure science. Mass commercial adoption and the industrialization of AI is going to shape the outcome. ChatGPT may seem like it's running on your phone or laptop, but in fact, it and other AI tools are trained and run inside massive facilities like Stargate. Demand for these hulking AI factories that are called data centers spiked this year. The number of new data centers constructed globally each year is expected to hold steady at around 140, but their sizes have become huge, as did the amount of power they consume, a function of the increasing number and sophistication of the chips inside. Data centers are expected to account for 8% of all U.S. power demand by 2030. That's huge. They're considered people. They're consuming our water. They're consuming our energy. Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and Meta announced plans to shell out a combined $370 billion this year to construct data centers and other AI infrastructure. The footprint of these facilities is staggering. Meta's planned 5GW data center in Richland, Paris, Louisiana, known as Hyperion, will ultimately exceed the size and the energy demands of Lower Manhattan. Are we getting a picture of this? This is beyond anything that you and I as regular, normal human beings can comprehend. Yet, this has been called a person. NVIDIA announced in September its intent to invest $100 billion in OpenAI. A day later, OpenAI announced that Oracle would construct data centers on its behalf in partnership worth more than $300 billion. Oracle, in turn, would fill those facilities with NVIDIA chips. It's almost incestuous, isn't it? Some analysts argue that the increasing debt loads, financing structures, and tech companies trading at record valuations are the recipe for a crash that brings down not only Silicon Valley titans, but also pension funds, banks, and other pillars of the regular economy. According to one expert, an investor, and MIT research fellow, he said this is literally the first moment in modern financial history that has combined all the raw ingredients of every other bubble in one piece. But it's frenetic. It's as if history demands it. Something is demanding everything of humanity be put into the development of what Time Magazine calls the person of the year. But many companies have struggled to turn AI implementation into immediate financial gains. One highly debated MIT study from August found that 95% of companies so far had zero return on investment from initiatives to integrate AI. At the same time, the labs themselves believe that their models will soon grow so advanced that they will upend nearly all industries, wiping out huge numbers of jobs. That's people, friends. Drive unemployment as high as 20% in the next 1 to 5 years. Amazon recently shed 14,000 corporate employees and made plans to replace 500,000 jobs with robots. Wow. Others in the tech world see AI as creating entirely new categories of human work. So, whether bubble or historic boom, AI is transforming the way we move through the world. People began turning to the new wave of chatbots for both emotional support and practical assistance. Emotional support? Yeah. Looking to chatbots for counseling. sending some people to the grave. But while AI can be a source of utility and comfort for some, the year also proved how it can be devastating for others, sending them to suicide. Critics argue that chatbots can be dangerous because, just like social media, they're engineered to suck us in. AI companies that spend vast sums on training need to generate subscriber revenues and are incentivized to optimize their products for engagement. In other words, seduce us. One of the tactics now is sex. Even those in kids' mode to chat with a pornographic avatar. OpenAI had not offered a sex avatar, but just a few months later, he announced that ChatGPT would offer erotica in order to treat adult users like adults. In other words, to seduce them. Scholars and students alike say that even far more innocuous use of AI is fundamentally rewiring our brains, upending how our kids learn. Kids are using tools to cheat or as a replacement for critical thinking. The writer says, I'm already seeing people lose the ability to be creative. Well, the drumbeat of warning that advanced AI could kill us all has mostly quieted. The doomsayers have been marginalized. Even the most upbeat AI thinkers and leaders are quick to offer kernels of warning. We don't know. Listen to this, friends. We don't know enough about AI yet to actually quantify the risk. That was the word of CEO of Google's DeepMind AI lab. But he said, in my view, there's still significant risk, even though we don't know how to quantify it. Do you know that insurance companies exist because of their ability to quantify risk? Did you know that? If they didn't do that, they'd be bankrupt. They have to know how to measure risk. Regardless of what company you have your auto insurance with, or your home insurance, your life insurance, or any other insurance, they have to be able to quantify risk. But what these leaders in AI are saying, we have no idea how to quantify risk. Why is that? Because they don't know what they're setting in motion and how to control it. They're admitting that. But they say, we got to do this. We have to do it. It's almost as if Father Time is demanding something that is taking the entire world by storm, and they have no idea where it's going. Oh, but we have to do it. Donald Trump says we have to do this because he who rules AI will rule the world. So now we have another one. It used to be said that he who has the oil will rule the world. He who has the energy will rule the world. Now it's he who has the game on AI is going to rule the world. Wow. I wonder where that leads. Does that lead to a counterfeit or Christ, a counterfeit Christ? A synthetically authentic Christ that pretends to be who he is not? Maybe he'll become the person of the year for Time magazine when machines become persons. Think about it, my friends. But in the meantime, you and I cannot control that. We know that. But what we can control is what we trust. And that's why we open with a warning and wooing concerning our trust. Silver and gold, yeah, you can invest in it. Don't put your trust in it. Riches can fly away very quickly. Besides which, even if you gain the riches, you may lose your soul if you lose your trust. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. This is your great opportunity. You can really make a difference. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.